Hello once again. The name of the program is Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are analog living in a digital world live. We're finally in here doing a show live this week, as we have promised for like the last month.
Well, you know, life derails you sometimes.
It does indeed. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, tech news you can use. And I'm going to start off with a disclaimer that the content of our first segment may cause some listeners a degree of discomfort. And the reason I am saying that is the crux of the problem that we're going to discuss. The fact that we have to preface something that everybody got here by that method can't talk about openly without putting funny little terms around it or nervous little laughs. And here with us in the studio, after months of planning, and finally, let's do this, Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
All righty.
You know, when Bob and I talk about the tech, we tend to talk about the hardware part of it.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, and the role that it plays in our lives, maybe from a work perspective type of thing. But you bring a whole new element to the show this time, and we're happy to have you here.
Thank you.
So we live in a world of science fiction. We have fantasies that are coming to life. Our communications, our ability to exchange information at rates never before conceived. And one of the icons of science speculative fiction has been Metropolis, Maria. The Star Trek series with episodes like I, Mud. A host, the movie
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina with Ava. The characters in television, the fembots from
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Synthetic females, and we are very rapidly approaching the point where they won't be, they'll certainly be not actually human, but they'll be more than just a machine, and that's what we want to address in light of all the heightened awareness of objectification of women.
Well, there is one guy out there, guys, and that was Data from Star Trek.
Yeah.
Who was fully functional.
Yes, and they alluded to that.
In like 23 different cultures.
Wow. Who wouldn't want to date that?
Man, really, could be interesting.
Doesn't get tired, doesn't leave his underwear on the floor. Yeah, exactly. So,
a cat named Spot.
Yeah. Doc, we're hearing, and there are cries of alarm in certain circles, that the introduction of synthetic sex partners, and when we think of that, we think of guys with their robot girlfriends, and that leads to an objectification and a
stereotyping.
Yeah.
Because that's two stereotypes.
Yeah.
It's not only the objectification of women into the sex bots, but it's objectification of the men as the predators, even if you
exactly
want to look at it that way.
Exactly. Then there's another school of thought that says this is an outlet for individuals who can't have normal, healthy relationships and can't get help because there's no help to be had. So, as you have seen, the rise, pun intended, of the robots. Doc,
I love that.
What's your take?
I think it's a solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have criminalized selling sex.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, we in cultures where it is criminalized, it does minimize the availability of a sexual outlet.
My bad.
For people that aren't maybe getting their sexual needs met with human beings otherwise. You know, humans need interaction. Humans
absolutely
need touch. They need connection. And as we make these robots more human-like, where they're actually interactive, they feel just like a human, They are present.
They can respond.
They can respond. It's helping people who are lonely. I mean, you think about our world of technology. We have more access, and people are more lonely than ever.
Right.
People aren't learning how to interact. I'm fearful for the generations coming up that are doing all their conversations via text messaging.
Go to any restaurant and watch young people.
Right.
They're not saying a word to each other. They're all furiously texting, and they're probably texting to each other sitting right across the table from them. And it's like, that's such an odd thing.
And sadly, they're not learning how to be in relationship. They're not learning how to read body language. They're not, and so that makes the robotic partner even more fitting for that generation, because they're already not accustomed to reading body language and reading intonation and looking into someone's eyes and feeling their soulful connection. So I think they're missing out on that. However, there are a lot of people that are isolated, and if they have this outlet, I think it could minimize one, sexual abuse, sexual attacks, assault, and other violent ways of getting people's needs met.
I find it interesting that the media is really squeamish about the fact that if you look at the history of things, when video cassette recorders came out, it revolutionized the porn industry, in that you didn't have to go to the sleazy little theater. You could now go into the curtained booth in the back of the store and pick out your tape. And it wasn't just guys. In fact, towards the end of the VCR era, 60% of the customers of adult video were women. Mm-hmm. And nobody really wants to talk about that. And so it is also, there was an article in New York Times about Doc Johnson products, and that the bulk of their user base is women who finally feel empowered to embrace their sexuality in these ways. But the media is just scared to death to even whisper a word, because they'll just be torn to shreds, right?
I think so, yeah. And we still have a very puritanical belief system here.
Very patriarchal.
Very patriarchal, puritanical.
Good girls don't.
And religion still plays a role.
Religion,
you know?
Culture.
Yeah.
You know, look where America started, type of thing. Absolutely.
Right. And so people are afraid. People are very afraid of sex. And yet everybody thinks about it, because that's how we all got here.
How did we
get
here?
I love to say to people, guess what? You're here because somebody had sex.
Yeah, exactly.
So true.
We haven't passed that hurdle yet.
No, not
With
yet.
Any luck, we... So, okay. I wanted to get your take on this, though, because there is a huge conversation that is long overdue, I will be the very first to admit, about relationships between men and women, and nowhere is that divide. You know, technology, as we're seeing it in our world, was supposed to be a great unifying force. But if you go down to the Silicon Valley, there is story after story of the worst of the patriarchal, abusive, misogynistic attitudes. How do we break through that conversational barrier? Because there's people who are probably freaking out and screaming at their radio right this second as we speak.
Hope so. Yeah, I love to turn people upside down, because then they see the world with new eyes. And it's only when we do that do we even start to think in new ways. I think the Me Too momentum has shifted conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made the misogynistic, patriarchal abuse of that power much more accessible for everyone to speak about. Before, it was more hush-hush. It was the most open secret.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are, more and more women and men who've been abused are coming out and saying, I feel so validated.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't just me. I, you know, because there's this implication of doubt that maybe we did cause it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we did somehow incite.
Women are so good at that.
That person doing that thing, right? And I think now we're really starting to step into the power of, no, this was not about me. This was about somebody else abusing their power, and we're not going to stand for it anymore.
What's interesting about this is how technology, specifically social media and other vehicles of the like, have allowed this to become a national conversation very quickly.
Yes.
You know, it's not now that it's sort of, you know, that book is starting to open up. If you were to think about, you know, 30 years ago where it was still television or print media and things like that, much slower for this concept to spread. Now it's almost instantaneous, which can backfire to some extent. You know, I'm glad you brought up both men and women, because this is definitely a conversation that goes for men as well. Not only men who have been abused, but men who do not engage in abusive behavior, who don't tolerate it and don't think it's right, are now, they feel free to speak up as well.
Right.
And say, I'm not cool with that, and that is not acceptable. And I'm going to call you on it if I see you doing it. That is so needed.
And that's the thing that I have been yearning for so many years. And I've asked so many men, please step up and teach men how to be men.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not my job to teach a man how to be a man. I don't know what it's like to be a man. But you're a good man. You need to be teaching.
It's so interesting to me that now to see this conversation is in the open thanks to technology in large part and some part. And how long it will last. It's going to be interesting to see how long that lasts.
Well, and that's why every week I keep it going.
There you go.
And, because I'm afraid of it dying off. And so I am keeping the conversation going. And I had a friend last week say, oh, I just wish, you know, all right, enough is enough. And I just blew up. It's like, no, we've just begun. We cannot stop the momentum. We have to keep it going, because people are now just starting to get comfortable to trust that they have a platform.
Well, and that they're not going to be shot down for bringing the subject up or pointing their view. Back to sex robots in the capacity where you mentioned that it's a tool to be able to help people who are lonely or whatever. As such, you know, these are not AIs and the artificial intelligence that are, you know, freestanding. It's machine learning. They are programmed. So, you know, in that capacity, would they be used as teaching tools from the point of view of what's acceptable behavior and what isn't? Because even if you have someone who's lonely and they're interacting with a robot, what are they still learning about not making connections with people? You know what I mean? They still don't have to look somebody in the eye. They don't have to look the robot in the eye. But can the robot say, you know, I'm uncomfortable when you don't look me in the eye. You know, is there a way to use it in a therapeutic sense, if you want to look at it that way?
I think so, because there are surrogates. You know, we have in the sexology world, there are people that are actually trained to be sex surrogates, sex and relationship surrogates. They work with a marriage family counselor or a psychologist, and they work on those interactive techniques. A story of a 40-year-old virgin, very, very successful in business, couldn't date, had no interpersonal reaction or interpersonal relationships. And so he worked with a surrogate for about a year and a half, all the way from just being able to have a conversation on the phone to having a drink or a cup of coffee to being intimate. And through that therapy model, he then was able to progress and move into the world and ask for get relationships. And
robots would be perfect for that, because they're non-judgmental.
Right.
They're not.
We don't have the legal issues.
Yeah, there's that, right? And then you can also
practice
20,000 times if you want to, type of thing. How interesting.
Well, and one of the other things, and I don't know if we need to break, but.
We got 10 minutes.
Here. Okay. One of the things that that is going to hit a nerve with people, and that is, there was a robot, a child sex robot that was created they wanted to put in a brothel so that people that had that proclivity would have an outlet, and it would be
Notice that Sharpie safe. Take a breath.
And, my pinky starts twitching.
Everybody's hackles go up.
And my hackles went up when I first heard it, too. And then I sat with it, and I processed, okay, there are people, pedophiles, that it is a real thing, that their sexual preference, their attraction to people is stunted at a certain age. So when they were seven, attracted to seven-year-olds, that was normal. Then they get stuck, just like drug addicts get stuck at the age emotionally that when they started doing drugs. So there is a certain segment of the population that gets stuck. Now they're 40, but they're still attracted to seven-year-olds.
Right.
They really don't want to be. They can't help but be. And many of them don't act on it. But they still have that sexual proclivity.
Better a robot than an actual child.
Well, that
does
bring me to a fork in the road in that we're hearing more and more about these 30-something teachers
right.
seducing the 12, 13, 14-year-old boys. And
they need a robot.
Robot.
Yeah.
If people could act out their... I call them proclivities rather than perversions because perversion has a judgment, but mm-hmm. it's just a proclivity. If they could act those out that perhaps no human being would want to do with them without force, then they could get their jollies. They could get that out of their system. They could have that outlet and they wouldn't be harming anybody.
And they function more normally in society.
Right, right.
So does research, this is a technical question, mm-hmm. the research that you're aware of, do the sex bots perform adequately? Are the people satisfied?
I think so, yes. Definitely.
Firefly is like my favorite series of all time, even though it's been 15 years since the series was on the air. It only lasted 14 episodes.
Unfortunately.
One of the most memorable lines was the very sweet, yet very, very sweet, very female engineer, Kaylee.
Quite naive.
Who states rather boldly, "It's been near on a year since I had anything twixt my nethers weren't run on batteries." At which the captain goes, "I can't hear that." And the bad guy of the show goes, "Well, I could stand to hear more."
That's hilarious.
It's a great, if you get the chance, it's on Netflix, of course. A great show that unfortunately was done away with by Fox.
It was too smart.
It made you want to think.
Right.
Because it addressed, there were what were called the companions who were paid.
Yes.
Companions, both on a social and sexual scale.
Right.
So the show broke a lot of ground 15 years ago when it was doing this stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, it has a huge following still with only 14 episodes ever made.
Well, one of the research pieces that we have to look at is the countries where prostitution is and sex work is legal.
Right.
And
Thailand.
And how that translates to sexual violence, their data. And it's virtually non-existent in countries where prostitution is legal, supported, safe, protected, where sex workers are licensed.
Right. And they are also, their health care is...
And they have great health care. Right.
Right.
So, and so sexual violence and assault and child molestation and all these things is almost unheard of. So when we have to look at that and say... Whatever sexual realm, there's no such thing as normal sexuality. First mm-hmm. of all,
there's a spectrum.
It's a very broad spectrum.
Yeah,
and so wherever you land on that spectrum, you have a right to have an outlet. You have a human right to have an outlet.
It's a human nature thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so if it's something that would harm a human being on any level, then why not create a robot where you could have your outlet and nobody's harmed?
Yeah. Those who would say, well, it's better to fix the person. Okay, what
you're
are you
going to
do?
That's right.
You're going to surgically damage them, you know.
Well, it doesn't help.
You're going to lock them away.
You can't undo a mind.
the thing of it is, culturally acceptable heterosexuality is a good example of that. What if that all of a sudden became wrong?
I love to turn that around on people.
And say, now you are the deviant.
Right.
No. Perceived in culture.
Right.
So now,
try to be different.
That's
now
explored
what?
In science fiction too. You know.
Yes.
So it's a thing of like, yeah, you know, it is, and this is a touchy subject. Absolutely, people have very deeply, very strongly held beliefs, both as and both genders. It's not just men or just women. It's us as a culture and a society. And
one of my favorite sayings in the sexological world is, "We don't yuck people's yum."
So the focus has been on getting back to robots. The focus has been on guys getting girl bots. But do you see the mirror flipping where women who maybe are suddenly alone or have never been able to get into a relationship because they're professionals and all, and they don't want to do the dating thing? Do you see that becoming a market?
It already is. Mm-hmm. It's already happening.
We just don't talk about it.
No.
Of course not.
And I think is it Germany, Sweden?
Somewhere there.
They're already making the male robots. So you can choose their skin color, their size, their eye color.
You can get
everything.
The perfect companion.
You can get your perfect mate.
Yeah, perfect
companion. And so they're already happening. And
if you don't like it, you can change it out.
Right. Yeah. You just trade them in.
Yeah. Makes it easier than the paperwork.
The used sex bot market. You know?
But, you know, a lot of people are choosing not to have relationships, not to be married, not to have children, not to do the family thing.
Which also holds a social stigma.
Right, right.
So do you see us going to Westworld eventually without the murderous robots?
Yes, of course. I think we need more options. I do, because the online dating is not working for a lot of people. It's frustrating, you know. And we still have the stigmas attached to the human connection.
I can relate to that, or Bob and I can relate to that, because we met online.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he literally was the last contact I was going to make for quite a while.
Yeah,
we only need one.
It gets exhausting.
We connected through Match.com before it was fashionable.
I roll my eyes. Absolutely. It can be frustrating.
Yeah.
Time consuming. And he's like, exactly. So it's so fascinating that technology can take us in this direction that in some ways technology got us to.
Right.
When you think about texting and that disassociation and not doing things face to face and having personal relationships because of technology, now we use technology to fix that.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting.
The unforeseen consequences.
Absolutely.
It's always fascinating to see what will come next.
This is why I said I have to live to be 250 years old, because I want to find out, you know, what kind of crazy things happen and what cool things happen.
Oh, I want to too. Yeah. I would love to just be able to pop it back in periodically to see what's going on.
Check it out.
So for those of you who listen to this show and don't listen to Nancy's show, where's your website and all that good stuff for your show?
Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, or drnsp.com, and the Conscious Living Show, which is on the hour before this show every Saturday. And I teach conscious living sexuality. And I just talked about on my show, I've been asked to come speak at Stanford Law School.
Congratulations.
So I'm very excited
That's
about
very
that.
That's very exciting. And the you know, how to make connections through technology.
There
know?
We go.
That's what it's all about. It's really great.
Love it.
Nancy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
talking
me.
Talking about the more human side of robot technology.
Yes.
It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. And more right after this break of the tech news that you can use. Welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio. Excuse me as I try not to choke here.
Clear the frogs.
Clear the frogs out. Goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and a big thank you to Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce for coming in and
joining us today.
Livening the place up a little. Not that we're dull people, but bringing her take on these conversations that have to be had. Because we are there.
Well, I don't know if they have
this
to be had.
This isn't a Star Trek episode.
No, I don't know. It's a conversation that has to be had, but it's before us and we're having it.
Yeah.
So, you know, eventually these things come out one way or another.
Yeah. So we
addressed a lot of topics in that first half hour, but we want to round out. If you want to follow the stories that inspire the conversation here on Boomer Tech Radio, get the Flipboard app on your iDevice or Android. Subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio, and you'll see the Boomer Tech Radio magazine, which is where we curate a lot of the stories that we happen to find interesting. And one of the reasons why I roped Nancy and got her in here into the studio, aside from the fact we've been meaning to do it for weeks, the two stories right now, the conversations that are going on about harassment, and this article in the Daily O, titled "Why Sex Robots Will Make the World More Dangerous for Women." Now, Nancy disagrees right. with this outlet. The subhead says, "The sex tech market reinforces stereotypes that a female body serves to gratify the desires of the male counterpart," is the subhead.
There is some truth to that, mm-hmm. but maybe not in according to Nancy Sutton Pierce's perspective of really what it can do to help someone.
Right, that it is a diversionary outlet, and there are those who will say, "Well, we just need to change everybody to think the same way," and people are not.
We're not cookie cutter devices. No, definitely not. You know,
there are people who will bring up their socio-religioso moral set and say, "This is my way, and it should be your way too." And it isn't just Western culture Christianity based.
No, it's a human thing.
There are parts of the world, Brenda, you know as well as I do, that if you walk down a street and your face isn't covered, your life is in danger on the spot by virtue of your being a woman. So the complaints about what's going on here are one thing, but you get into some of these cultures, you're at a whole different level.
Right, and if you're from a different culture, they may not understand that is not an issue for you as an individual, but that is what's done in their culture. So, you know, who knows where this is all going? You know, this article asserts that folks using sex robots may still not be able to have healthy relationships with people in that capacity. So does it really matter if they are more healthy psychologically, is one of the things that Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce would say, then what difference does it make?
Yeah.
And this is a good question. I place no judgment on that either way. You know, I may have my own perspective and beliefs about that, but who am I to tell somebody else how to think? I don't like being told what to think.
Yeah, yeah.
And on many levels. And we're all products of our own belief systems, whatever those are. And and I'm not saying I endorse it or I don't endorse it. I'm just saying it is out there and kind of better get used to it because it's going to happen.
There are people who say, unless you subscribe to belief system X, fill in the blank, because that is a point of view based thing. And each of those points of view says their point of view is the only valid point of view, but the belief system is, if you don't subscribe to my belief system, you are by definition an immoral person. Is that where we're at right now?
I don't know.
I see it that way.
Right. And so what effect can technology have on that? I think the very fact that some of these discussions take place and that social media and instant information spread really plays a role in bringing up that conversation and maybe changing some of those ideas. If you haven't been exposed to a new idea, but you know, humans are humans, and they're not digital. They're mm-hmm. they're not equipment. They're not electronic.
Yeah.
In that sense, and so humans are human nature is all part of this. I was in a meeting the other day, and there was some questions about, you know, how this affects decision making and so on and so forth. And this one person said, "Well, we are, after all, dealing with people," yeah. And it was quite amusing because it's so true. And in that, there is a broad scale, a broad spectrum of individuals out there. So, you know, if technology keeps us safer and healthier, it would be hard to to argue that there might be something wrong with that.
Yeah. The author of this article, Rushi Kokcha, K-O-K-C-H-A, the article appears in the website Daily O. Here's an interesting paragraph. The dark underbelly of the sex robot markets has a different narrative. The industry is sexist and runs on the stereotype of the female partner being passive and docile. It reinforces the idea that a female body serves to gratify the desires of its male counterpart. Not only does it jeopardize the idea of consent, it can have severe repercussions such as an increase in the number of sex crimes.
Except that statistics don't really support all of that. And who is becoming a large
consumer,
yeah, that's the right word, of sex robots. It's not just men. So
you
this
look
article
at the stats on Amazon,
exactly.
And a lot of, and I would say that well, I'm just going to come out and say it because it's not words that you can't use on here. Vibrators outsell blow-up dolls by a pretty good margin.
Oh dear me. So
did I just say that? But
well,
hello.
Well, the thing about it is, this kind of cycles back to journalism, that maybe a little more homework needed to be done. This is more like an op-ed type of piece than actual statistics and looking at it and reporting on what's going on. And I think it's kind of presented as a little bit of an opinion piece. And certainly there are elements of what this person says could be true, but there's so much more to the story.
Yeah.
So while we're on women messing up the world, right? From some people's point of view, I see that sarcastically and tongue-in-cheek because, you know, for 35 years, I've been a woman in a non-traditional position, in a non-traditional field for women. Applied science, I'm certainly not a pioneer. There were many women who did far more work in that arena than I did. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I sought out my employer is because I knew I probably there would be low tolerance of abuse of power and that sort of thing, and I had a vehicle to use it. However, there was a case where I just said, you know, I won't win, so I just moved on. Literally, I went to another place, and I definitely have always been able to manage to be in a supportive environment.
You related famously that a management level person looked you in the eye and said, "Why do you have a man's job?"
Yep. Why are you taking a position that a man should have? And my reaction was just to laugh at him.
Yeah.
Because it struck me as so ludicrously funny. I had never thought about that. I didn't look at it that way. It was, you know, I was much younger then, and I would probably react to that quite differently today in terms of understanding where they were coming from. But at the time, I just thought it was funny. I told him, well, get used to it because I'm here to stay. And he didn't know what to do with that, you know, because I refused to be intimidated.
So this article in CNET magazine is priceless. A report from the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. Now, this is a big think tank. Yeah. This isn't,
Brookings Institution is not a, fly-by-night slouch outfit.
No, they've been
Very reputable.
The report measured men's and women's digital scores and found that women had stronger skills than men do. The Brookings report, called Digitization in the American Workforce, looked at information about the knowledge, skills, work activities required for high-tech jobs, gave women a digital score of 48 versus 45 for men.
Now, that's not a big difference.
But it's an edge. But why is it that the attitudes – why are girls tacitly discouraged – from the womb to steer them away from playing with the things that go click, buzz, clack, into the nurturing family stuff.
Or to the very least, they're not encouraged to go that direction.
Right.
They may be curious and want to do it, but that's one thing I have to say about my parents is, bless their hearts, they let my brother and I choose the area of study that we were interested in. I was not guided in any particular direction, and they probably would not have picked me being an applied scientist, my brother was kind of into that. But either way, they didn't care. You know, go out and get out of our hair and go support yourself was kind of the message.
The two women engineers at CES last year, and I mean, these were full-on engineers, accredited IEEE, the whole nine yards.
Yep.
They loved talking to you because you had broken, in their view, you had broken some ground that they were following up
on. Well, I did. In my agency, I was often the first female professional on staff, meaning the first female applied scientist on staff. There were other females in the office, but they were you know, professional in the sense that they were clerical staff. But I was the first one in the, you know, the ranks, if you will. And it was always interesting. And I was young. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. I was young, female, and now they got to deal with me. And so I didn't give it a great deal of thought because I liked doing what I was doing. Yeah, and that's all I was worried about, you know. And so there's that. But not everybody has that that ability. So it's interesting that women score. I'd like to know how they did this, and actually there's a reference to this Brookings report, and you can read about it, digitization and the American workforce, and looking for how that filled out. So
we happen to know, and the name can't come to my brain right now, a woman who is arguably a beauty queen, or could, you know, has been in contention to be a beauty queen, who is also a roboticist of the very first order.
Quite setting the world on fire, Monica is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Monica Fisher. And I hope she doesn't mind that we're invoking her name, but wow.
What a remarkable young woman.
Not only was she a hell of a dancer.
She's not a remarkable young woman because she's a robotics engineer and that. She's a remarkable person.
A very remarkable person.
Yeah, she's just a beautiful person in and out. It doesn't matter that it's a she.
But will she face an uphill battle because she's a she?
Probably.
Yeah.
But the conversation's beginning to change. You know, she's the generation to make that happen. Yeah. And all those that went before her have generated the conversations that we're having today and the statistics and studies that we're seeing. So I think it's a great thing.
Right now, women's share of employment in the tech sector is still below 30% in tech roles, thins out even more in management and leadership positions. And we see that.
Yep. Women typically are not trained to be leaders, for one thing, or assumed to be leaders, when in fact many we're just people, and some people have that skill and some people don't. Gender shouldn't play a role in that in my eyes, because you definitely find people of all walks of life, genders, ages, that are leaders or not. To me, 30% looks pretty good, because in my experience about mid-career for me, I was like 10%, 10 to 15% of my industry. So a doubling into 30% in a science industry like that, that's an improvement.
Yep.
Have a long ways to go. And is it to be 50-50? I don't know. Does it need to be on parity? Maybe not. But I do know from having a staff that you definitely want some variety of experience and backgrounds. And this is not gender related. Mm-hmm. This is having a group of people with many different points of view. And it's not that you're designing things by committee. In a way you are, but you will be stronger as a team than you will be trying to be a dictator. And quite frankly, being a team leader is easier because other people are willing to do a lot of the work. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is kind of herd the cats around.
Herding the cats.
Yes. So, you know, it's good. I think technology helps us work through some of these things. And if you're, you know, not feeling so supported, maybe you can find forums or avenues through social media or through web searches that say, yeah, it's not just me.
Yeah.
Either way, even if you're feeling disenfranchised or you are looking for support, it's both under, you know, both of those perspectives, mm-hmm. you can find help through technology.
We say on this show that technology is a two-edged sword. Social media
absolutely
is got positives, but it also has some negatives, and it allows the proliferation of both harmful things and utter and complete nonsense. Case in point. Story on Fox News. Oh, according to certain folks, the world ends on Sunday. Did you know? Again, the world will end on Sunday.
Did you just do squirrel?
I did do squirrel. I figured we, towards, as we head in towards the end of the hour, we should probably end on a somewhat lighter note. This story on FoxNews.com. Headlines, scientists debunk prediction of incoming Earth-destroying planet. When worlds collide. Remember that movie? Conspiracy theorists claiming that a rogue planet will disrupt the Earth's orbit on Sunday to bring about a series of catastrophic earthquakes that could decimate life as we know it. Nibiru. Sounds like something out of Star Wars, doesn't it? Also known as Planet X. Was originally supposed to destroy the world on September 23rd, according to a Christian numerologist who said it was going to collide with Earth. The day came and went with no apocalypse. Theorists say Nibiru will come near our planet this weekend, throw the orbit off, and with it bring hellfire, brimstone, cats and dogs living together. Nibiru is a hypothesized planet located on the outer edge of the solar system that allegedly completes one orbit around the sun every 3,600 years. Theorists believe that its gravitational influence has disrupted orbits of other planets over the millennia. Earth's time is up. It also claims that the alleged planet sends plasmatic energy particles. Hello, Commander Data, please define this. Through our solar system.
Here we are.
The flow of energy can disrupt the core flows of the Earth and trigger drastic and dangerous changes in the climate. Aha!
Well,
there we are.
All of this is, interesting and fascinating and good, although I would tend to believe the NASA scientists when they say, what Planet X? There's no evidence for it. They're probably somewhat in the know about these things. After all, they have a vested interest in this.
Yeah.
They live on the planet, too. And the other side of this is I, for one, plan on having my usual fancy schmancy Sunday morning breakfast of sausage and eggs and go about my day. I have yard work planned, and I probably will get to somewhere in the evening and go, oh, yeah, you know, the planet's still intact today. Yeah. I thought it was supposed to blow up.
NASA scientist Dr. David Morrison told the UK Daily Mail, first, if there was in fact a planet heading into the inner solar system that was going to whack the Earth, it would already be inside the orbit of Mars and somewhat hard to miss. It would be pretty bright in the sky. Even officials at FEMA were forced to release a statement in an attempt to quell hysteria about the end of days, saying they have us covered just in case. Of course, the movie-watching conspiracy theorists will say, well, they're just hiding the truth from us because they don't want panic. Really?
Okay, there's no winning this.
Yeah. Oh, there is. This is Y2K. This is, how many catastrophic ends of the world have come and gone?
Actually, I take that back. There is winning this. When we get to midnight Sunday and the world has not come to an end,
but
we win.
It just didn't have the numbers quite right.
Okay, well, that's what they said last time. How many times are you going to say that when no one believes you?
Yeah.
And then they'll say, we'll be proved right someday.
Yes,
okay.
Sooner or later the world will end. Yeah.
If nothing else, give it about, 4 million years and the sun will do the job for us.
Yeah, play the odds.
It's all good.
Finally here to wrap up this hour of Boomer Tech Radio. I don't know if the budget's going to hold for it, but if you are in the market for a tablet, boy, has Costco got a deal for you. Now
we're going there after the show.
you looked up the ad, huh?
No, I'm just saying that how I've been complaining about the battery getting a little wimpy on this tablet.
Your Galaxy Tab 10-inch is about 4 years old now, and it's been a good Android-based tablet. Would you say?
Oh yes. Yes, I've really enjoyed using it, and someday I may just plug it in and leave it that way because the battery doesn't hold for very long. But
tablets that are reaching the end of their battery life can often serve purposes such as room monitors. They can be clock displays. They can do a lot of neat things without necessarily having their full capabilities or being somewhat outdated. That's the beauty of the Android operating system.
Might be good in the kitchen for recipes.
The Samsung Galaxy Tab S3 tablet, quad core,
32 gig,
32 gigs of memory on board, normally this guy sells for over for almost $600,
yeah,
which has kept us away from
$580. Yeah. It's still not cheap, yeah, but it is on sale.
Costco is selling this tablet with a $20 credit in the Google Play Store for $460, which right. is a that's $140 off. It's at Costco, members only.
Well, that's true of Costco, period. Yeah. But
I've got to say that if you're going to invest in a mid to high level tablet and you don't quite want to immerse yourself into the iPad ecosystem, that this is really a good choice. This is Samsung's flagship tablet. Yep. And it's a good, solid machine.
Pen is included.
With the S Pen, yeah.
Yep, and you can expand the memory out to 256 gig, which is usually kind of cheap. So getting a hold of the main deal. So, you know, it's not bad.
No, it's a nice little tablet.
And I've enjoyed using your cast-off Samsung. I actually liked it better than my iPad, too.
And if you don't want to go that that big, another very good tablet is the Samsung Galaxy Tab E, which is a 7-inch model. We got ours through Verizon with the 4G connection for a very good price. It was on like promotion.
$75 or something, yeah.
Normally, if you buy one that is Wi-Fi only, that doesn't have a data plan with it, you're going to pay, I think, about $250, but a very solid little tablet that I use as an e-reader. I use as a I got to carry something, but I don't want to take up a lot of room. Mm-hmm. Tablet, mm-hmm. and of course it'll hold the Samsung Kindle. Now, if you want to dip your toe into tablets and you don't want to get an expensive one, and you happen to have an Amazon account, which a lot of people do, really hard. You can't go wrong with the Kindle Fire.
Yeah, it's a good all-round little. Yeah. You know, and it, that way, and if you lose it, you don't cry because it's not that expensive.
A Kindle Fire 7-inch can be yours for when it, especially on Black Friday, because I guarantee you, you're going to be able to find Kindle Fires for under the 7-inch HD for under $50. The 8-inch will probably be under $75. Deals might even be better than that because they are awesome little tablets. So we've got we're coming up on the end of hour one of Boomer Tech Radio. Been quite an hour. In our second hour, we're going to address more things you can look for on Black Friday.
Black Friday's coming.
Yeah, the big sales are coming up. Brace yourself.
What's hot this season?
It's Bob and Brenda. Tech news that you can really use. More right after the top of the hour break. Welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Hour two of the tech news you can use, goodies, gadgets, and gizmos. Oh, boy. Of course, we're live today in the studio, area code 530-605-4567. Or you can hop into the chat room, kcnr1460.com, which I do, in fact, occasionally look up at. I'm also my own engineer. The theme music that you hear, George Wood, a song called 8-Bit Junkie, we got permission to use it for this program. Kind of a neat little 80s type of tech noise. Speaking of which...
Unique.
Yeah, unique. Real quick, the show Stranger Things, which was the big smash hit on Netflix, is set in the mid-1980s. And boy, did they have to dig around for the tech of the era and keep it authentic.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And it is true to form because we're bad. We watch for these inconsistencies. I think some of the script phraseology wasn't around in the 80s perhaps. But even then, that's pretty good. But the clothes, the hair, the cars, the technology, the interior decorating.
Yeah.
There is a... I have never seen a show, movie, whatever.
Period piece.
Do such detail to that outside of maybe Westerns or something like that.
Yeah.
Where at modern times where people were, you know, around to remember. I wouldn't know what it was like in the 1880s
type
of thing.
Yeah, exactly. They could take liberty with those.
Right, absolutely. But, oh my gosh. They did a fabulous job with that.
And Of course, we haven't heard yet if there's going to be a Stranger Things 3, have we?
I'm sure they're working on that. Are you kidding me? The
show was a smash.
Yeah, and they leave it open because the big monsters. Not spoiler alert, a little bit. The big monster stays in the Upside Down.
Yeah.
And so it could be bad.
If you haven't gotten to it, this is a binge watch worthy show because think what's the best analogy I can come up with? Think Aliens done by Spielberg.
Well, there's Stephen King, Spielberg. Oh my gosh! Who else is in there?
So many influences.
There's some classic sci-fi stuff in there. And references Jaws.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a bunch of films and stories in the genre that you can see elements pulled from, and that's part of the fun is identifying some of those things.
Yeah. On a similar note, now this is a show that is not everyone's cup of tea because purists hold their nose and run. Science fiction type purists who tend to be really snobby at things, but the Fox show, The Orville, which is a direct spin out takeoff Seth MacFarlane's version
poke.
Of Trek. It's a poke at Trek because they do many of the same things. In spite of all that, has some of the most wow graphics.
The visual part of it is just incredible.
Yeah, they really put some interesting graphic artwork into the show. The plots are rehashed Trek with a bit of a spin on them.
Well, yeah, a bit of a modern spin on them. But and some of the characters are like silly. I mean, you cannot take this show too seriously to a level.
But it
that's what
some
makes
things.
Makes it interesting. But yeah. They tackle some interesting subjects.
And people will either love it or hate it.
I think that's true because initially, if you're expecting the seriousness of Trek and that sort of thing, this is not where you're going to find it to a level.
Or if you're expecting
some of the characters,
slapstick, you're not going to get that either.
Right.
There is humor, but there's also moments when you go, yeah.
Right. It definitely takes on some serious aspects for sure.
So it's a fun watch. Speaking of watches,
we laugh on a regular basis with it, but then at the end we go, you know, that was really pretty cool how they handled that.
Yeah. Good dialogue, though. And Seth MacFarlane, this is Seth MacFarlane's play toy show, I think.
It pokes fun at a lot of things.
Anyway, Black Friday. By the time we get to next week's show, which I'm not sure how we're going to pull that one off because we may do next week live as well.
We'll probably do next week live as well. Just for
but by then Black Friday will have come and gone.
Right, but we'll be able to report on what the surprises were. There always seems to be some sort of Black Friday surprise of things that industry is. There's no secrets anymore thanks to social media and things like that. But you never know. You know, the consumer is a beast of its own.
Yeah. Now, the story we're going to take on here, which, of course, all our stories show up, at least the inspiration for the stories show up in the Boomer Tech Radio Magazine. Subscribe to Flipboard. Well, get the Flipboard app and then subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio Magazine. Also, if you are catching just a portion of the show, maybe you're driving through town, go, who the hell are these people? All of our episodes are on since March, are on podcast. Available at iTunes.
Gosh, did we start that? Seems like just a few months ago we started that.
We actually launched the podcast in March, but before that, all of our episodes have been kept at boomertechradio.com, and before that, kcnr1460.com/archives. Shows dating way back, and if we listen, nothing's more volatile than tech shows.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's perishable information because things come and go. There's some enduring topics of which we touch upon now and then, like passwords and such like. But, so much of it is – it changes so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So this article appears in the UK Telegraph. So we're going to have to be doing a little math. Because all the prices on these products are done in pounds sterling. And, of course, products that will sell for one price in the UK will sell for either at a lower price or maybe a higher price in the U.S., depending on import duties and things like that. But this will give you a frame of reference. And while I'm talking about the some of these products, Brenda's going to be doing some conversion for me because she's much better at mental math than I am. Some of the top products, this according to the UK Telegraph across tech. So maybe you want to treat yourself or get a luxury gift for the tech lover in your life. Here's a great list. For a standalone camera, the Sony CyberShot WX220, a point-and-shoot camera, lots of punch for the price, 10x optical zoom. That's one thing your cell phone can't do, is have a good optical zoom. Now, the Motorola Moto tries to do it with the Hasselblad clip-on.
Yeah, but it's still a clip-on. It's not
it's clunky.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward.
The CyberShot can also do HD video capture. It'll do Wi-Fi or near-field communication. You have a camera that easily links to your tablet. And the price in U.S. dollars would be?
For £150, about $200 U.S.
About $200. Okay. If you want something that's a little more of a dedicated camera, if you want to take some serious pictures, Nikon DLSR, that's digital single lens reflex. That's the camera with the interchangeable lenses. You're looking through the lens when you look into the viewfinder. A 24 megapixel Nikon camera. So this is these are the big boys in the camera world. It's a luxury gift for any photo lover. It's detailed shots, manual mode, DLSR quality. You can record full HD video at 60 frames a second. Use the guide mode to get step-by-step assistance for the perfect shot. Sells for £450, which works out to about $1,100.
That should be pretty close. It's like 1.3 conversion. So my handy-dandy conversion device here, it helps if I can type the right numbers, but it's right around $600.
Mm-hmm. Panasonic weighs in with their, we're still talking about cameras, Panasonic weighs in with the Lumix ZS100. It's a high-end camera from Panasonic, 10x optical zoom, 20x intelligent zoom for sharp shots. In other words, it does the digital zoom thing, but it has some correction so it doesn't get all pixely. Image stabilization, can shoot 4K video, ultra-high definition video for incredibly detailed shots. Sells for about £478, which we're up around
It's a little over $630 or something. You know, if you think about this, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. Well, yeah, no. I mean, I spent like $900, and I still have it, on a manual focus SLR. It's not a digital one by any means. I bought it, my gosh, back in the 80s, I think, late 80s, and has a nice lens on it. It's a kind of a 4-in-1 Nikkor lens, but I spent a whole lot more money on that. And the capability of these and the glass that's on them, these are cheap in some respects, especially given the capabilities and how it meets up today's displays. You couldn't, digital media is certainly not film. Film has a certain feel and look about it, just like vinyl does for audio. But the capabilities of these are just amazing. So, $650 is a pretty good deal. Of course, does that include a lens? Or you have to buy the lens separate?
I think it comes in the package with a basic zoom lens.
Yeah, with a basic lens. Yeah, that's still pretty good.
Moving on to headphones and speakers, Sonos was one of the top names in custom high-end audio installation, and they moved very smoothly into connected speakers. They are the king of multi-room speaker systems, high-quality audio, and a simple app. They can be controlled from your tablet or your phone, or voice command control with the Alexa feature, meaning you can talk to the smart speaker rather than using your phone to control it. Also, if you have Google Home, you can instruct Google to play a song, and it will play on all your Sonos speakers. So that's kind of nice.
How much does that one go for?
The Sonos Play One, which is their entry-level model, £170.
Oh, yeah, that's not too bad. I mean, you can think about these things somewhere around $230.
Yeah, not bad at all. and while we're talking about the A word,
which you already said,
we have to mention, of course, the Echo. Now, for about $150, the Echo or the Google Home, they're priced very, very similarly. A lot of people say, I'm not putting a microphone in my house. Well, you already have microphones in your house. It's called your smartphone. We find ourselves using the our smart speakers. We have both Mrs. A and Mrs. G. We find ourselves using them frequently, especially around bedtime when we say, hey, set the alarm for X time.
Yep.
And it does it.
Yep. It's pretty interesting.
Of course, the Echo can make calls, set alarms, read the news, order a pizza. The price has dropped in some cases to right around $150. The Echo now comes in several colors and brightens up the room.
It brightens up the room, all right.
And there are variants. There's the Dot. There's the Show.
You can ask it to play music, and the speaker onboard speaker isn't great, but it's not horrible either.
It's not a bad look, considering that the thing—
what the device is.
Think about a cylinder—
for $150.
Somewhere between a Pringles can and a Quaker oatmeal box.
Yeah, it's more on the Pringles side.
Yeah. Kind of leaning into the Pringles side.
It's not big.
A surprising amount of audio comes out of this thing.
Yep. It's listenable. If you're an audiophile and you really want, you know, hi-fi stuff going on, well, then you're going to pick something else. But this is good, perfectly fine for background stuff.
Now, I've got the version one of this particular speaker, the UE Roll, which is about $100 on Amazon. The mini ultimate ear speaker comes in a range of bright and bold colors. They are waterproof, pretty sturdy. They look like an oversized hockey puck. And you can link them so you get a stereo effect. 9 hours of battery life, and so they're good to have out on the patio, on an outing, on your boat. They sell for right around $80 a pop, and that is the UE Roll Model 2. I like my UE Rolls. They charge quickly, and they last a good long time. Bluetooth speakers are really very, very handy devices. The Beats Pill Plus has a wide dynamic range. It's powerful. It's about, looks like it's about $250. It has 12 hours of battery life, and two of them can be paired to give you surround sound.
Actually, the UE Roll 2 is on Amazon, is less than $100.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. The Beats Pill is going to be somewhere around $200.
So we still like to have, just like we like to have paper books in some instances, a lot of us still like having a physical picture. And how cool is it to be able to have one right there on the spot? Polaroid Zip. For roughly $150, a standalone mobile, actually about $130 if I'm doing the math in my head correctly, a standalone mobile printer for your mobile phone. You can use Polaroid Instant Printing to create brilliant shots straight from the smartphone. Comes ready to print 25 sheets right out of the box.
That's pretty cool. That could go somewhere. It might be a handy doodah.
If the person in your life owns an iPhone 10 is starting to realize that, I don't want to risk mashing up my $1,000 smartphone just so I can show off the Apple logo, take a look at the Toro iPhone's dark leather case. They are smart executive style cases, wallet and passport holders made by Toro. It's a smart gift to smarten up your tech. They're only about $40 for these excellent cases. That's a cheap investment to protect your iPhone.
Yep, definitely. And some people, your life is in your phone. Your phone is your wallet in some cases. So it's interesting that if your loved one has you drew their name, they have a device that can be charged wirelessly. Belkin has a wireless charge pad.
You loving your wireless pad?
Mine
for ages.
Set on it and set your phone on there. Do make sure that it's actually charging, though. I got into that one night.
Yeah,
I put it on there.
Off, yeah.
It was slightly off, and it didn't charge, and I didn't pay attention because I didn't have very much experience with it. I got up the next morning, and it was like, why didn't my phone charge? Oh, moved it over slightly. Bing. You know, there's a light that comes on, and then you can check your phone screen and make sure it's charging. So it's no big deal. You just have to get used to using it. Yeah. But, boy, is that nice. No fussing around with wires or any
right.
of that kind of stuff.
You don't have to worry about wearing out the cable, and you don't have – now, with USB-C, it doesn't care which way the plug goes in, but you still got to fumble around a bit to find where the plug goes. This eliminates that step entirely, so it takes out the wear and tear on your phone's jack. And now, of course, iPhones are offering wireless charging. So
there's lots of wearables that are out there. The Apple Watch Series 3 is, everybody talks about Apple Watches, and there's Fitbits that are out there as well. Garmin has a version. All of these vary in price. The Apple Watch, of course, is the most expensive at somewhere around $425 or $450 or something like that. The Fitbit fancy schmancy one's about $400. And then the Garmin has a version of something that's probably around probably approaching something like I'm trying to blank here, about $170. They're trying to convert pounds to dollars. So, there's something out there for every budget in that category. So Fitbit, of course, is one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. So you can probably find some things, and Fitbit has more economically priced items as well in the $75 range or so.
Now, if you have purchased a flat-screen television and you're relying on the built-in speakers, oh.
Yeah, well, and this is true in the industry. They assume you're going to have an external speaker system. That's just an assumption. So they really don't put much of a speaker system in televisions anymore. In fact, I would guess that before too long, they have absolutely no speakers in them.
Kind of like an iPhone or something. Yeah, no headphone jack.
Yeah.
So we had a traditional surround sound system that we linked to our Samsung TV. It was nice, but it was starting to – the trouble was if you have an old surround sound system and it's not set up super correctly, or maybe the technology is old enough that it doesn't work 100%, you lose the dialogue.
Yeah.
And that's why we watch a movie. If you watch music shows or something like that, yeah, you want the wide range. But traditional 5.1 systems that jack into your TV set can lose the dialogue if you don't have a really good center channel speaker, which is where all the dialogue has to come from. So we invested in a sound bar from Samsung, and it wasn't the super fancy one either. I think we spent, $150 on it or something
about
like that.
About $150.
Pretty acceptable base. So if you want to spend a little bit more than $150, the Samsung HWMS650 soundbar, all-in-one sound for your TV, meaning you don't need subwoofers, and it has the subwoofers built in. Now, I actually listened to this Samsung at Costco. They had them on display there, and I was blown away. It's got because of the design of the sound bar, it has special chambers on it, and the 5-inch subwoofers built into the sound bar actually reach out and grab you.
Yeah.
And they can play acoustical tricks. And you've noticed that we still get surround sound effects just from the sound bar without having to have women who look at speakers with wires coming out of them and go, well, like this. You get the surround sound effect without having to run wires under the carpet.
Or have those speakers out there in a particular location. That's kind of the nice part.
Yeah.
It's whatever way you're facing the sound bar does the job. So if you want to move things around, you don't have to rerun wires or move the speakers to get the same effect.
Yeah. So there's a lot of streaming TV devices. Among them, of course, if you're an Apple head, the Apple 4K TV now gives you – well, they don't give it to you. You pay for it.
It'll be over $200, though.
Yeah. It's a little over $200. The 4K movies from iTunes Store can also play back TV from BBC iPlayer and Netflix, responds to voice commands with Siri – And you can stream a wide range of 4K films. If you don't feel like spending the $200 plus on the Apple TV, you can spend a little bit less for the Chromecast or the Fire Stick.
Right. $40 to $50.
Yep. If you have an Amazon account, Fire Stick is really nice. Now, it's standard HD, which for most of us with ordinary human eyesight, standard HD still works pretty darn good. I know there's a big push. Everybody wants to get you into a 4K television. And if, in fact, you are looking at getting a new flat screen, go ahead and get a 4K because the technology has now matured to the point there is now content to be had.
We hope that that lasts for a while, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's something you're going to want to look at. So let's talk about the device to rule them all. I've got right now three different remotes that I have to juggle. And we took a hard look. We really looked at this at Costco. The Logitech Harmony Ultra remote. It's a smart remote. Controls game consoles. It controls lights.
Yep.
Everything in one very intuitive touchscreen remote that you can program off your smartphone. And it's big enough that you're not going to lose it in the couch.
Yeah, and it looks like it's anywhere, depending on the model you get and where you get it, $125 to $150 bucks. Which may sound like a lot, but, you know, if you only have to deal with one device, one remote, that can be kind of handy.
Yep. So when we come back off the break, we're going to be talking about more gift ideas for the Black Friday season, tech news that you can use, all coming up for one more segment on Boomer Tech Radio. Round the back turn into the home stretch.
Yep, and we are live today. If by chance you want to call in, it's 530-605-4567, right?
Yep. Log on to boomertechradio.com for the ability to listen to past episodes.
You haven't had time to be in the chat room, so we're not advertising that at the moment, right?
Well, I glanced over at it once in a while. Nobody has said a word. You know, it's
good.
Funny. We get the idea. We start thinking to ourselves, is anybody listening to this thing? And then we'll be talking to somebody. Oh, yeah, I listen to your show, and I don't understand what you're saying, but I like the way you say it.
It's like, gosh, that means we could repeat ourselves and not irritate people. This would be a good thing.
We try to. Now, it's an interesting thing. We don't want to really dumb the stuff down because we don't condescend. But we try to keep as much of the jargon out as possible. So we do go back to basics time to time. And so if you are a tech head and it sounds like we're repeating ourselves or we're saying something that everybody knows, no, everybody doesn't know.
No. And there's always issues like password security that you could definitely go over and over and over again problems.
We
can't emphasize that enough.
The UK Telegraph, which is a great newspaper, has come out with the best Christmas tech gifts for 2017. So I thought we would run down the list and sort of pick and choose. Something. If you've got an Apple head in your life, maybe you'll want to take a look at the AirPod headphones. I think I don't have the price right in front of me, but apparently they are quite nifty little headsets, and I could not bring myself to spend that amount of money on something that can fall out of my ear.
Yeah, get stomped on, dropping a bowl of water or whatever.
My preference for my headphones when I'm like at the gym or something, I watch movies on my iPad when I'm on the treadmill. I've got a pair of Skullcandy Bluetooth headphones that work just fine.
Yep. That's good stuff.
In fact, they're sturdier than they look.
Yeah. Skullcandy's good stuff. They have great sound.
So back to the list, according to the UK Telegraph, their favorite 4K TV, and you're probably going to find this cheaper in the U.S., and there's a, you know, go down and we looked like idiots when we were shopping for our 4K TV in Medford, Oregon.
Standing around, like watching a tennis match back and forth.
Because they had the same program playing
head,
on.
Head one way, head the other way. Try to say, which one looks better? Oh, quick catch that, you know.
They had a Samsung playing alongside an LG. Same screen size, same basic specifications, and pretty close to the same price.
Yep.
Finally, because we have some other Samsung products, and we just felt like the interface on the Samsung was a little nicer, we went that route. But we would probably have been just as happy going with the LG.
Yep.
And a lot of people are.
Yep.
And the prices on 4K televisions have dropped dramatically. They're below $1,000. In some cases, they're below $500.
Yep.
For 4K televisions.
Starting to come down now.
The UE 40, I'm not going to read the whole part number. Anyway, it's a Samsung 40-inch 4K TV.
6400U is the important part.
Yeah, that's the important part. Price of 4K TVs, and you can get this. It's a next-generation television, and we like – now, we have a 60-inch, and we really – which is about as big as we're going to be able to handle in our particular setup. But if you've got the room for it, a 60-inch is nice, but if you're in a fairly small apartment or something, the 40-inch is going to be perfectly adequate. How many of us grew up when 25-inch was the king of the living room?
Right, and you're talking about a set here that's somewhere just over $600, where you know something like this would have been hideously expensive a few years ago.
The very first 40-inch plasma I installed was $20,000, and this was in 1998, I think it was.
Yeah.
$20,000 for a plasma, but there were people who bought it.
Right, which today would look paltry compared to our
exactly.
OLEDs and things like that.
Plasmas.
Well, yeah, they're case in point. I know, hard telling what's going to replace this stuff, but it ought to be around for a while. Well, yeah, but it's ought to be a
film. Yeah, I mean, we see this stuff in the science fiction right now. Very thin film OLED. Display devices that can be wrapped around stuff, can be rolled up like a window curtain or pulled down like a movie screen.
Right.
When you're not using it, it's up out of the way.
Well, yeah, but it's also semi-transparent, so you see the background through
it. Well, you would have some kind of background that maybe you want to change the background.
Well, that's possible. But I mean, if you're watching a movie, the point would be like to have these people, you know, right there in the room with you kind of thing. Holodeck style.
Oh, yeah, there
you
go.
Who knows how that's going to go, you know. A fictional holodeck style.
Smart home stuff, of course. We've had smart homes around for quite a while. We like our Nest. We have a first-generation Nest thermostat. We got talked into buying it by Alliance Heating and Air. And at first, the price, the cost of spending $250 on a thermostat really sort of made us go, eh. But I'll tell you what, it's nice.
Yeah, and I don't think they talked us into doing it, but they were all excited that we were interested in doing that. And it did kind of help us push us over the edge a little bit to actually purchase it.
One thermostat that you can look at is made by a company called Hive, about $220. You can control home heating from your smartphone and set the home to warm up on your way back from a walk.
Yep.
We like to remotely monitor the house, make sure that the kitties are at a comfortable temperature when we're on the road. It also lets us know if the house sitter accidentally left the heating on.
Well, yeah. That's happened too.
Yeah. Nest, of course, is the thermostat we have, and Amazon is selling the Nest security camera for right around $200. It is one of the best of the best. Nest security camera. You can monitor the smartphone, check for comings and goings. We have a pair of Nexia cameras that work very, very well for us. As long as you get a major brand, don't go cheap on security cameras, because how do they make them cheap? Because they maybe load them with
very hackable with systems, with malware, things like that, and they're doing things that you don't want them to do.
Mm-hmm. So this is something that used to be only in the realm of rich and famous people. Lighting that you can customize to your situation. You want nice, bright, bluish light for showing off something, you can do that. Or if you want subdued lighting, almost like candlelight, you can do that. all with Philips Hue smart bulbs. These are some of the best LED bulbs on the market.
Yeah.
They can be controlled through your apps. They can also be controlled through your voice command system. You can go from ambiance to from party lighting to intimate movie lighting just with a quick command. The bulbs are priced at about $70 a pop, but they last a minimum of 20,000 hours.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And they, the prices on them are dropping dramatically. In fact, I'm going to divert off to the side. This is, maybe this is the thing you want to do for a loved one, for Christmas, is that if they have soffit lights or ceiling lights with the incandescent 100 watt easy bake oven lamps in them that make the power meter spin like mad. For less than $100, you can replace six of these things, because we've done that. Now, my mom had like three of them that were aggregate burning up over 300 watts of energy. We replaced them with three LED lamps, and these are not the funny blue LED lamps. These were warm, yeah, white, 3300K color temperature that were indistinguishable from, except they were brighter.
Yeah.
From the incandescents.
Yep.
And a fraction of the power and nowhere near the heat, yep, that was being generated.
Yep. They don't generate a lot of heat.
So that's something you can do. You can pick up these things that we got ours at Ace Hardware. Replace the soffit lights and ceiling lights in the fixtures. Replace those energy hog floods, yep, with LED models.
Yep.
They're a lot better than, and especially if you did the compact fluorescent thing a couple of years ago, because people hate compact fluorescents.
Well, and they wear out.
Yeah, and they start flickering and doing weird stuff like that. All right, other products we want to look at, the SkyBell. The SkyBell is our smart video doorbell, lets you see, hear, and speak to visitors remotely. You can imply that you're not home, even if you are not. Go away, we don't want it.
Or you again, go away, right?
Also, to give the impression that you are at home, the Wemo Smart Plug, which is about $60 on Amazon, lets you turn appliances and lights and other devices on and off from anywhere using your smartphone. Of course, with any of these devices, you're going to want adequate security,
yeah,
and
that is a must.
Firewall on your router, but you should be doing that anyway.
True enough.
Amazon Echo Dot. For about $60, the Amazon powered mini speaker is perfect for anyone who's just getting started with smart home journeys. They make a great gift for any budding tech lover. So, and on the final page of this article in the UK Telegraph, some gorgeous pictures of the UE Roll speakers. They look like a big hockey puck.
Yeah, and they you can have different colors and decorations on them and things like that.
Oh, let's see here. You know, if you are a frequent... Oh, one more gift for the Shutterbug in your life. This is pretty cool. Canon, of course, noted for very high-end cameras. Also, point-and-shoots. But Canon has come out with a little teeny tiny camera that is actually, and it looks very authentic, it's actually a USB drive. The whole idea here is that people who like to store their pictures on a flash drive, why have just an ordinary little drive when you can have one that looks like a miniaturized functional camera? It doesn't actually work. The camera-inspired USB device, it honors the Canon 4SB rangefinder cameras. It's in a limited edition. And doesn't give a price, but if you were to search retro mirrorless flash drive Canon, I expect you'd be able to find it. It's a neat looking little device.
Uh-huh.
If you're a Globetrotter, now we have a couple of friends who travel all over the place frequently, and one of the big things when you get on an airplane has been the airlines have been very, very slow to embrace wireless technology. In fact,
oh,
the
sure.
first thing they do right now is tell you to turn your phone off,
right,
because you might make the airplane crash, which hasn't been the case for ages.
Yeah, and not only that, is like, did it ever happen?
And they want to force you into using their stuff because that's a value-added thing.
Well, they get money out of you for that. It's like everything else.
Yep.
No freebies. Not included in the price of your ticket.
Two international airlines have upgraded their Wi-Fi offering, Cathay Pacific and United Emirates, are now offering 50 megabit Wi-Fi in their Boeing 777 fleets that is expected to take hold in the year 2020. A number of airlines are finally figuring out that Wi-Fi on board is not a huge security threat. In fact, it is a value that may bring people back, you know, when they're down to just deciding between similar price points.
Mm.
Let's see here. Do we want to do yet another story about passwords? Do we want to do another story about passwords?
Well, why not? Yeah. This one's a little different twist on that. Not only how to build in secure passwords, and I think that we're going to always have to have some kind of security device. So whether it's an actual password or not, which still they have not found security that's better than that.
Yep. So a company called 1Password, security consultant named Jeffrey Goldberg, has some answers to questions about security and password management. I love his job title. Jeffrey is 1Password's defender against the dark arts. That is his job title.
That's pretty good.
How cool is that? Password managers create hard-to-guess passwords, and they remember them, so you don't have to. Do we have something better than passwords on the horizon? Not really. Facial recognition, thumbprints, all that stuff still are backed up by, ultimately, a password.
Right. Well, and I'm thinking that, you know, a two-factor authentication is maybe stronger than just a pure password or biometrics. Using them together then definitely adds another layer, another element.
Yeah. So the whole thing about fingerprint and facial recognition is that your device converts your face or your fingerprint to a digital key.
Right.
A string of digits.
And it's not perfect.
It is not perfect. And should that digital key be copied, they don't need your face. They've got the digital key.
Right.
And the only way to fix that would be to change the algorithm used to generate the digital key, which if your phone's locked up because somebody has changed the digital key, you're in a circular bureaucratic circle there.
Yep.
When a server is breached, you're told you have to change your password. This has happened to a lot of people. You've got to change your password for that service and every other service where you have, shame on you, reuse the same password. Biometrics is an adjunct to existing password security. Again, our favorite way of creating a password that you're not going to promptly forget or have to write down somewhere, select a phrase that means something to you. String all the words together, randomly insert capitals, and randomly substitute, where you can, symbols for letters.
Yep. That makes it a little harder to remember.
And bigger is better.
Yeah, but if you have a consistent way you go about it, you know, people won't longer is better, right?
Yeah.
And don't pick the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
Don't That's, do I love you. Don't yeah, do your name.
Right. It would be,
don't do your dog's name.
It would be some kind of phrase that means something to you. Or, you know,
a favorite movie line.
Right. A favorite movie line, a phrase you use all the time.
You keep on using that word, you know.
You know, cousin, crazy cousin Jack or something, you know.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You know? Now, don't use any of those.
You're right. Some of the more famous ones, or even maybe super famous quotes wouldn't be good either, but something that you read in a book or a phrase you like, or make up something, you know. Mm-hmm. It's blue-green is the yuckiest thing ever. You know, I don't know. Just off the top
of
my head.
That's the beauty of it. It's your imagination is the only thing that limits the inaccess. And these passwords are very, very hard for even the most sophisticated hacking systems to crack through because there's no pattern that they can identify.
And fingerprints are maybe a little better than face recognition, but it's still the same thing of like a digital key.
Yeah, but when the sensor gets goopy, then you're locked out of your
device. Or your finger's wet. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. But you love the face recognition one.
Yeah, it works pretty good. But if it if I restart the phone, that doesn't work. I have to go resort to using the password.
Well, that's an extra security measure, is to make sure you're you that makes you do that.
Yeah.
Or you haven't used your phone in over 24 hours. I noticed that our Samsung Galaxies do that. It says, you haven't been on here for over 24 hours, so what's your password? Yep.
All right. So moving into another area here, article on TechSpot. Headline, Samsung Gear Wearables to be handed out by health insurance company for fitness tracking. Okay. Fitness trackers earn warm reception from healthcare providers. Now, already, some insurance carriers are saying that if you don't jump through our hoops,
yep.
what we think you should be doing
we will
to
penalize
maintain
your
health, we will charge you dearly.
Yeah, definitely. My brother has run into that with his company, that if you don't do certain things, then you're going to pay more than the other person.
Is this a way of ensuring that people, so to speak, ensuring that people will take the best care of themselves, or is it too much big brotherism?
It is also perfectly legal. That battle's been fought and figured out already.
Yeah.
This is a good question. So here's a case of where technology, and you may be forced into doing this. That's the part that I wouldn't care for, is being forced to do this.
We've noticed that you have purchased four pints of Häagen-Dazs in 1 week. We don't believe that this is good for your health. Okay,
ultimately,
now it gets creepy.
Well,
right?
Yeah. First of all, how would they know that? Big data, you got to love it. This is one reason I go to more and more cash economy
and
when I buy things, because if you pay cash, they don't know who they bought it from.
Your customer loyalty card that records every single transaction.
Yeah.
Now, people who are particularly paranoid will run away from these things.
Right.
But it's like using Google. You look up – my favorite peeve here is when you look up something on Amazon and the next day it's in your Facebook feed.
I know. I hate that.
That's creepy.
It's anything. You don't even have to be on Amazon.
Yeah.
I've got
but it
that.
It shows up in your web browser on the sidebar.
I've
the
got
exact
that.
Product
yep.
that you looked at.
I'm going, I'm dealing with that right now. Yep.
Anyway, United Healthcare and Qualcomm Life, Samsung is providing Gear Fit 2 Pro Fitness Trackers and Gear Sport smartwatches. Members of United Healthcare will be able to pick from either of those wearables and also receive wireless headphones. If you complete the daily walking goals, members will be able to have their bill reduced by amounts exceeding $1,000 annually. Now, this is like the Geico thing that
they
want to stick in your car,
yep,
right?
They're sort of kind of paying you for your data is what it amounts to. You are selling them your privacy.
Yeah. There's this app, and it's Geico that does it. You hear this thing on NPR. You put this thing in your car, and it monitors your driving habits. And if you stay within their guidelines,
right,
then you get a discount. If you go outside the guidelines, now they have an excuse to, well,
say,
screw you over.
Sorry, you don't qualify.
Yeah. Boy, do I have a problem with this. I got a big problem with this. And I love technology, and I got a big problem with this. We cross the line. Where does that stop? Well, we don't think that watching – you've got kids in the house, so we don't think that having this particular television show on your Netflix is conducive to having healthy, safe kids in your house. So we're going to penalize you. We're going to put you under the microscope. Where does that stop?
I don't know. Good question.
And let's see here.
I mean, I have a singularly uninteresting life in that arena, but I still think it's mine.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Nobody needs to know things on that level, that detail.
Well, at the beginning of this year, a Bitcoin was worth $600 for one Bitcoin. Back about the time the story first started breaking about cryptocurrencies. As of this week, Bitcoins are worth $8,000.
Oh my gosh!
A piece.
My God!
6 times the price of 1 ounce of gold. There is speculation that by the end of the year, bitcoins are going to surpass $10,000 per unit.
Yeah. So, what kind of bubble is this?
That's when I've got tech people and I've got true believers who say it can't bubble. I'm going, everything can bubble.
Everything bubbles. So to be skeptical that that's what's going to happen makes a whole lot of sense. Definitely makes sense. I still don't get bitcoins. I don't understand. You know, they get created out of nothing. So it's so interesting that something that isn't real, like gold is real, is something you can hold in your hand, but a bitcoin is virtual. It has no real existence, and right. Yet it's worth $8,000 a piece.
A cryptocurrency is based on a mathematical solution that is extremely difficult to come by. It's called mining for cryptocurrency. So new bitcoins can be created, but it is a long and involved, laborious process. So there's a limited number of these things laying around, people who we're going to talk more about cryptocurrencies next week.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies,
I wondered where we were going here, looking at the clock.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other.